Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by two guests, Peter Russell, Chief Operating Officer at Russell Partnership Technology, and Thibaut Catala, Founder and Managing Director at Catala Consulting. We've broken our conversation into two parts. This is part one, and part two will come out later this week. In this discussion, we talk about the importance of understanding your break-even point as we look to develop revenue strategies as we prepare to reopen. We look at what costs you should be considering, how you can model different scenarios, and evaluate what impact do these scenarios have on your revenue, profitability, and cash flow, ultimately helping you decide the most viable strategy to adopt going forward. At this point, it's important to stress this is audio from a video discussion we recorded, so we do refer to screen sharing and we do look at a spreadsheet. If you want to see the video, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel. Anyway, hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, guys. Good to see you again. How are you both? Peter, you well?
I'm very well. Thank you, Trevor. Yes, how are you?
Excellent. Yeah, very good indeed. Thibaut, you doing well?
Excellent, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Thank you. And thanks again for joining us. And all things considered, hopefully this will be an interesting topic as we look to scenarios as we start to unlock, which is a conversation we maybe haven't been able to have for a while. Anyway,
no, that's a good one.
We'll dip into the topic in a moment. But before we do that, it might be useful if we could get each of you just to give us an introduction so that puts some context to this. So, Peter, if I can just hand over to you briefly and you can let us know a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely, yes. So my name is Peter Russell and I'm Chief Operating Officer for Russell Partnership Technology. We focus on a variety of things, but all focused on technology with hospitality, travel and tourism. That ranges from training, learning and development through to a whole range of operational technologies. And that encompasses things like hotel feasibility projects and then expands into forecasting and consulting as well.
Perfect. Thanks so much. And Thibaut, if I can pass over to you, that would be great.
Yeah, my name is Thibaut Catala. I'm the founder and managing director of Catala Consulting, which is a revenue management company based in the UK. And we're looking after hotels across Europe, mostly on the outsourced revenue management model, where we take care and we give the opportunity for hotel to hire their own expert revenue manager at a fraction of the cost of hiring them. We're expanding in Europe and now going overseas as well in Asia and in the US. So quite an exciting time nowadays.
Very good. Very good. Thanks to both of you for joining us. And so just to tee up what we're going to be looking at, we're looking at the important topic of break even. I mean, over the last couple of years now, the conversation around revenue management has evolved to start to look at profitability. And that was the word that came into the equation. COVID has suddenly thrown in the word of break even as being critical. And interestingly enough, I think hopefully as we'll try and show during the course of this conversation, COVID or not, understanding your break even point and at least makes you focus on driving into the cost, which helps to drive towards the profitability. So that's what we're going to try and cover off today anyway. So probably best to start off with a couple of caveats. I'm certainly not a finance professional. I don't know if either of you two guys are. I know obviously, Thibaut, you come from the revenue management, but I mean from a professional sort of finance qualified. So I think we're both coming at this from a broad understanding of finance and its broad parameters. I think the second caveat is really to say, look, we can't cater for every single scenario that is out there, every single type of property, how lockdowns are affecting different ones. So it is a slightly generic, but hopefully there's enough in there that people can take from it what they need to be able to hopefully utilize it and get some value from it. So let's start off. Break even. Thibaut, as you've written a recent article on this, probably makes sense to go over to you first to say, okay, what does break even mean? What is the value to hotels? And then Peter, I'll come to you after to add any further thoughts to that.
Yeah, sure. Nowadays, it's very important to decide to remain closed or to reopen your property next month or the month after or on the 17th of May as in the UK, as we all know now. So it's very important to understand your break-even point because nowadays, yes, it's important to make money, But today it's also luxury not to lose money. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to understand your different costs, your variable and fixed costs, and to understand what is your occupancy point where you're not going to lose money, but you're not going to make money either. It's just like the break-even point. And that's exactly what we are looking at.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful tool to help support your decisions, not only based on gut feeling, but based on data. And based on your different scenarios, then you can adjust your strategy, your pricing, everything. That's very, very powerful.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And Peter, anything kind of else to add into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I say, COVID has sort of heightened the feeling towards the necessity to look at the break-even point, as we've both just said. I think in normal times, a break-even point could be seen a bit as sort of negative thinking, sort of why would we only care about breaking even? We were focused on making profit. Whereas, you know, as Thibaut just said, you know, we need to be focused on ensuring that when we do reopen, we understand where that break-even point is. You know, it may be that we are comfortable reopening before we get to break-even, but we need to know where we are in relation to that, so we know potentially what we're planning, we don't want to plan to lose, but what we may lose and how long that will be for. As you were just saying there, I think it's important because we need to understand those fixed costs, and understand those fixed costs will really help us to get towards that understanding of the break-even point. And it's not saying we don't need to worry about the variable costs, but if we only have a cost when we actually have a room occupied, then we don't need to worry so much about that cost, because then when it's occupied, we pay it. If it's not occupied, we don't pay it. So yeah, just really important to understand it. And if we don't understand the numbers, then we don't know what we're dealing with. And then we won't know how to make these decisions moving forwards.
Yeah, I think very good points from both of you on there. And I think there's a couple of things to draw out of that, is that in terms of looking at opening up, you know, there's been so much discussion in the UK about, is there enough support going on into the hospitality, the hotel sector? So I think, you know, being able to look at how are we going to open up, what are the fixed costs that we've got no matter what, is very critical. Understanding then the variable costs, and we'll come into that later on, because once we do start to open up, those variable costs start to come in and influence the pricing. I think there's also a part as well, is that it's maybe also understanding what your cash burn is, because there can be a scenario where if we look at it and say, well, this is where we're losing money, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if you can fund that loss and stretch it out in certain ways, then that means you can be ready to open. But at least having that information to enable you to form those decisions, I think that's what we're trying to drive at. The essence of this is, you know, making sure you know where your numbers are and where they're sitting at the moment. And I think also it's very easy to be optimistic about what we think we will be able to do, and hopefully if we dive into a few scenarios a little bit later on, we'll be able to put some numbers around that. So what are the things that we need to consider? I mean, you've mentioned fixed cost and variable cost there, Peter. Maybe just picking up on some of that, or Thibaut, either of you, you know, what are the costs that maybe we do consider or don't consider? Who would like to pick that one up to start with?
I can. I mean, we have three different categorization of costs. The first one, as you mentioned, is a fixed cost, which could be linked to the rents, the mortgages, payroll to some cases, insurance, taxes, or building costs. Then you have the variable cost. So the fixed cost will be the one which are fixed. So that's the one which are, whatever happened, it's here. Okay.
You just pay them every month, whether you got people in or not.
Correct. Then you can negotiate based on this one, but that's fixed. That's what it is. Then you have your variable cost, which will increase based on your occupancy and based on your activity. So it's linked to the guest room amenities, it's linked to your food supply. It could be linked to some extent on the payroll as well, and the housekeeping costs are linked to this one. And then you have another one, which is a bit more obscure, I would say. It's a semi-variable cost, which could be linked to the electricity bill or the telephone charges, when you have like a fixed cost, and then until a certain level, it starts to increase.
I've got you.
So that's a three different cost that we need to consider.
Yep.
But definitely the break-even analysis or the cost volume profit analysis, it's just looking at your fixed cost, and you divide it by the selling price per room minus the variable cost per room. And it goes into the key point of all of this is to find out the break-even point in occupancy or in number of rooms, understanding of where you're going to not make money but not lose money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Peter, anything else to add into that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as Thibaut was just saying there, I think understanding those fixed costs is level one. I think that's really important to get done. And that should be, not to sort of telegraph it, but relatively easy. As we said, those are the costs we have regardless of what's happened. And the painful thing for hotels is that hopefully they'll be very aware of that at the moment, because those will have stayed while they've been shut. Mm. There will obviously be fixed costs that come back when we reopen. And then I think it's a case of, it's a bit of a cliche, but if you can measure it, you can control it. So I think it's a case of understanding what these things are within each section. So breaking each of the bits down, because it can look like one very large area to try and get your head around. But actually, when you start breaking it down, as it always happens, it gets a lot easier. So if you look at staff costs, we then say, okay, well, if we open and we're at 10% occupancy, what does our staff cost look like? If we open and we're at 30%, what does the staff cost look like then? So you mentioned, Trevor, in terms of scenario planning, it's sort of sub-scenario planning as well. So looking at individual sections of those costs and saying, well, what's going to happen in this area if this happens? And then making plans to be prepared for that, so that when it happens, we're prepared for it, rather than it being a surprise and we think, my God, what do we do now? So I think that's definitely a kind of way to think about it for me.
I love what you mentioned about what you can monitor, you can control. And I think it's very important. And sometimes when I do this exercise with some clients, I'm surprised because the variable cost per room, most of the hotels don't even know to calculate it. And it's actually quite, it's complicated to find out the variable cost per room. We all know about the fixed cost, or we all know about the amount of cost we have per month. But if we start to split it to understand, like, what is my fixed cost, what is my variable cost, then it's another exercise, a bit more complicated. But once we know, then we know. That's something. But most of people don't know about the variable cost per room.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think, again, it's going to be hard now because we can't simply take the number that we used to have. So if we had a previous cost per occupied room, or however we're marketing that, it's going to have changed. So, you know, all hotels now will have increased the amount of cleaning that is done in rooms, and there'll be various other things that may have changed that will be affecting that. So we need to understand the new number, not necessarily the old number as well. And it was already complicated before. So not to sound doom and gloom, because that's not the case, but it's definitely a little bit more complicated now with the new norm rather than the old way of doing things.
No, that makes sense. And I think, excuse me, you know, there's a lot that you guys have just said in 2 minutes around costs and the different types of costs. And you're right, I think the fixed costs we should be very clear of at this moment in time. The variable costs, I think you're right, it's not often looked at and calculated sufficiently enough to have a real grasp on it. Now, one of the things, I mean, obviously what we wanted to do was to kind of make this a bit, demonstration's the wrong word, but kind of give an indicator of how you can be utilizing some technology, whether it be, software or accountancy packages or spreadsheets. And I know you guys, Peter, at RP Technology have put something together. So, you know, yes, we're going to use that as a tool, as an example, to show some of the costs and how you can model it. So forgive the blatant pitch here, but we wanted to use a tool to make this seem slightly relevant. So we're going to go with sharing screens here. So this should be interesting to see how we can get that to work. So if we can get you to fire it up, Peter, and then we can just have a look at that model, that would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first thing to say is, yeah, that this is definitely not a blatant sales pitch for something we've produced. There's lots of different ways of doing this. We've had lots of conversations with clients and partners around the ways that we can help with this and the way that other people can help. So what we've created was something which was something to help the industry. This is something we've done for many years as part of our consulting side of what we do in terms of forecasting and looking at budgeting. And what we wanted to do is produce something which could really get into this and help people with what we've just been talking about in terms of understanding numbers and then being able to produce scenarios to measure and then be able to control what we're talking about. So I'm not going to go into a long 20 minutes. I'm going to give you 90 seconds, which will be tough for me. So what we've done here, and you know, people may have similar versions of this they've created themselves. And if anyone's interested in talking, let me know. What we've got on the screen at the moment is the starting point. So the starting point is the revenue forecast. So what revenue are we expecting to come in? So we need to understand, and this is from a rooms perspective I'm showing you on the screen. We need to understand how many occupied rooms we're predicting. We need to understand average room rates. And then we can start to work out revenue for that area. What we can then do is we can then start to look at cost assumptions. So then we need to think around, what are our cost of sales? What are our staff costs? What are our other operating costs? And any of the other things that we need to pay. We then have a whole range of other things in terms of cash flow, in terms of collection periods and payment periods, and a whole range of other stuff. And I'm not trying to scare people with all this information, but as we've talked about, there's a lot to take on board. What we have with this program is a way of predicting that. And again, as Trevor said, the massive disclaimer here, this is only as good as the data that's input, and that is done by the partners and clients we work with. What we get at the end of this, once we've produced this, is we get a forecasted 2-year profit and loss statement and a forecasted 2-year cash flow statement. What this then allows us to do is it allows us to see what the outlook is going to be like based on that forecast. So again, it's based on the numbers that anyone who's using this would put in. Once we've got this, we can see, well, how profitable are we month by month? Are there any pain points? Are there any months? Is there a period of 2 or 3 months where we're struggling to get what we need to get? And then the final element we have is the cash flow element. Cash flow element here, even more important, again, another cliche, cash is king. If we don't have the cash, then we're going to be struggling as a business. So really important to understand how this is all going to work moving forwards. So I know that's a really short sort of introduction to what this is. But as I said before, I think forecasting has always been important. That's obviously what we're here talking about. And if we're not forecasting, then maybe there are things in the near or the medium term future that we don't know about, but we need to know about. If we know about them sooner, we can plan better for them. Maybe we do need extra financing. Maybe we don't. You know, maybe we've taken extra financing and it's something we don't need. You know, we need to think these things through. And I think the scenario planning is the most important part of that. So understanding and being able to be prepared for what's about to be happening. So that's a short potted overview of the way that we've put this together. And obviously lots more to discuss.
If we just leave that up for a moment and we'll kind of talk around it, and I'll quickly get your thoughts in a moment, Thibaut. But I think two things. One, the massive caveat, the hotel name that you would see on that screen share is just generic. These numbers do not refer to anybody's client here or any hotel that may happen to have the same name that you saw there. So that's the first thing. I think also the second point on there, or there's two other points. The second point is, the cash flow is pretty critical, because that comes back to the point that we were talking about previously, that you may see that you are losing money, but understanding your cash burn and how long you can continue to do that for is paramount. I think picking up another phrase I once heard, which is profit is vanity, cash is sanity. And I think the third point, and maybe you could just click on some of these tabs here as well, is that you spoke about accommodation, but obviously some people listening may also have F&B operations. And so you also have sort of another tab that you can look at there that covers the F&B. Could you just very quickly talk through that? And then Thibaut, I'll kind of get you just to any observations.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So the things I mentioned at the start in terms of doing a revenue forecast in terms of rooms, we have exactly the same thing built in here in terms of food and beverage. So here we're forecasting number of covers, number of drinks, and then average meal prices and average beverage costs. And then again, the finance and the expense assumptions then also need to be put in here. So again, we can drill down into this and look at cost of sales, staff, operating costs. And that can sometimes vary for food and for beverage, depends on how the operation works. And it's worth saying that there could also be other things within this as well. Meetings and events is probably a very interesting topic. I don't know how deep we want to go into that, because that's going to be really interesting in terms of recovery within that part. But there could be that part of the business. We need to forecast. We could have more on terms of leisure, in terms of gym, leisure, spa. We may have golf. We may have a whole range of other stuff that we want to forecast. And of course, this all lends itself to work in the same way. I think that key thing there is about understanding. This area at the bottom might look quite small in terms of the cash flow element we talked about. This is looking at when we collect the money in terms of the money coming in, and when we pay the money in terms of the money going out. So in here, we can look at, well, when do we pay for our cost of sales? And is that over a 2-month period, a 3-month period? There may be things we can negotiate that really help us. This is showing at the moment we're paying 50% in the first month, current month, and 50% in the second month. Potentially, if we could negotiate with one of our suppliers to try and move 20% of this into the third month, it might really help the flow of cash that we have within the business. Mm-hmm. So we're not actually changing what we're spending, but we're changing the flow of when we spend it. That could have a huge impact on our cash flow and really help us. So there's things like that which we can trial, which, you know, they seem small, but they can have big impacts. So I think there's lots to drill down into with things like this.
That makes sense. Just keeping that screen up for a bit before we switch it off. Thibaut, any kind of comments towards that from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I remember like a few weeks ago when we discussed, and I show you mine and you show me yours, talking about break even and easy spreadsheet, of course. Yeah. And I was a bit ashamed, actually. but it's very detailed. Like the cash flow projection are very, very important. So I think it makes total sense. I mean, for me, when we run this exercise, it's more like fixed cost, variable cost per room, contribution margin per room, and break-even occupancy rate. So we don't go into detail when it comes to month by month or yep. when it comes to interest payment, depreciation, and so on. So yeah, I find it very useful.
Yeah. Okay, well, if I can get you to sort of switch out of there. So I guess what we want to do now then, and we'll potentially come back to that, hopefully come back to that, but I think what we want to look at now is that, as we can see the different level of granularity you can go into, and I'm sure everybody listening to this, every hotel will do some sort of financial analysis, whether it's as detailed as that or not. But I think the point of seeing that tool is that there were just some core areas where you can plug some numbers in. It will do the calculations for you and show you what that M figure and what the projection is. And I think that was the critical piece. And then the second part was being able to look at picking up on your part about the F&B costs, was to say, okay, if we can go back to our suppliers and we can move those percentages, excuse me, what impact does it have? And being able to step away from the business and model some scenarios, look at then how that would impact on the cash flow forecasting, and then be able to say, okay, these are some actions or some conversations I could look to have, because I can see that could be a positive outcome for us. You know, that seems to me to be a logical starting point. So I think that was my kind of conclusion looking at that sort of spreadsheet. Would that be a fair summary of that kind of section?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you mentioned there about strategies, and I think, you know, we may just open this out into a wider discussion as well. I think that, you know, the strategies could vary. It could be based on when we open. So the strategy might vary on the opening date. The strategies might vary on, I think, geographic visitors is going to be a really interesting factor with this. So, you know, we talked about the UK opening up the hotel sector in May. We, you know, it's probably not too outlandish to say that, you know, a lot of the early business there is going to be local business, it's going to be domestic driven. So the forecasts will be predicated on what do we expect to get domestically, and then when do we expect international to come back? So we need to think about those things, when, you know, how that is going to impact our forecast, and then that's going to impact what that means for occupancy levels, and then in turn what that occupancy level means for those other parts of the forecast.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think what is important here is to use those kind of tools, because data, spreadsheets, software, anything are very important. But what is more important is the use you do it and the strategic decision that you take after this and the action based on this one. Yeah. So looking at your break-even analysis, and you take your break-even occupancy point and you compare this with your occupancy forecasted, and you see if it makes sense or not, okay? So you have one which is like the occupancy forecasted is below the break-even point, then you may consider to postpone the opening or adjust your variable and fixed cost to reduce your break-even point to find the correct one which makes sense with your current forecasted occupancy. Or if your occupancy forecasted is above the break-even point, then you have the green light and you can slowly but surely reopen the door.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. So let's just touch them momentarily. Just a short conversation, because then what we want to do, we're going to have a short conversation about what are maybe some of the unlocking scenarios that might be created by some of the unlocking. What are some of those variables that might start to influence us thinking about the revenue side of this equation? Because obviously the spreadsheet, you are putting in the revenue, and that helps you to see what you think the realistic picture is. And now you could start to think about different scenarios and how to then model those, and then see how changing the modeling of the revenue part of that spreadsheet can start to influence the cost. So let's over to you guys a little bit in terms of what are, maybe Tibo, I'll come to you first in terms of what are some of the unlocking scenarios that you're seeing and you're exploring with your clients.
Sure. I mean, one of them, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a webinar from IATA and Tourism Economics. And one of the most useful chart I found was the herd immunity forecasted for the different countries. And when we understand like different countries are expecting different dates for the herd, when the herd immunity will be reached. So the herd immunity forecast seems to be the kind of the trigger when we can expect some recovery. Mm-hmm. And you can see like US is leading the pack with the vaccines, and you have UK and Canada, Europe, and so on. Okay. Then you have Asia, which is like forecasting in 2023 and so on. But this one is a key element when it comes to recovery forecast. So you have different countries which are going to recover at a different pace. And then, as you mentioned as well, we have different segments that are going to recover first, like the domestic leisure, followed by hopefully the domestic corporate, and then the international leisure and international corporate at some point. So it's very important to identify what kind of demand is out there, what kind of recovery we can expect, and use any kind of tools which are forward-looking data. You have plenty of data on the Google Insights, like Google Insight Hotel, Google Hotel Insight, Google Travel Insight, Google Destination Insight. Mm-hmm. So which give you some point where to look at in terms of demand. So looking at some people are searching for a Santorini in Greece, and you can find out if it's increasing or if it's decreasing. Yeah. And so all those kind of data, STR Forward, OTA Insight, Market Insight, you have a lot of data which help you understand the future, not only looking at historical data, but at the future data. And then last but not least, but I'm sure we are going to discuss this more in detail, the staycation. Yeah. Staycation is a keyword, and that will be the next biggest focus in the next few weeks.
That makes sense. And Peter, anything else to add into those?
Yeah, that was a really thorough overview. I think the only thing to add would be the sort of sub-market element as well. So not only within countries or regions, but also based on individual locations. So there's been some interesting data coming out about sort of hotels at airports based on quarantine and things like that. And that's quite an interesting, well, it's a very interesting case scenario in terms of how that's working. And I think there's also the impact around location, whether we're a city or whether we're a suburb or whether we're out in the country, because that recovery is going to be different as well. We know how hard London has been hit. You know, if we take UK as an example, usually London is the shining light of the UK hotel scene and seen completely separate to everything else. Right now, it's completely flipped over the other way, and you'd be far better to have a small hotel on the south coast of Devon than you would be to have a hotel on Oxford Street, because the difference of where you want to be. I'm not saying where I would rather be. I'd probably rather be in both, to be honest, at the moment. But I think that's going to be really interesting. I think the second thing, and this links a little bit to our previous point as well, is understanding the break-even point and profitability. So it's also understanding what our sweet spot is, because more occupancy might not necessarily be a good thing. There might be a sweet spot at 30%. And actually, if we're at 35%, our costs may go up, but not in proportion to how that flows through to the bottom line of profit. In which case, it's not saying we're going to turn away that business. We'd still want the occupancy, because it's still going to be part of that recovery. But I think understanding that is going to be really important. So understanding what we're shooting for in terms of occupancy and how it looks in terms of overall profitability at the end of the day.
That makes sense. Tibo, you were nodding away there. Any sort of final points? And then we'll kind of get into some modeling out some scenarios.
No, I fully agree on saying, like, as well as you mentioned earlier, risk management is shifting from managing the rooms revenue on the revenue in general to more profitability manager, where we not only look at the top line, but we also look at the bottom line. And that's the biggest shift that we have. And we see like the cross function of finance, asset management, revenue management, which are kind of commercial, kind of getting together to create this kind of a new next generation revenue manager.
No, that makes sense. Okay, so let's we've touched on some potential scenarios that will occur. Let's let's try and see how this plays out. We then say, okay, so how do we take a scenario, and then how can we model that, and maybe we might jump around a little bit with a bit of screen sharing to say, okay, if we had scenario X, how might that influence our decisions, and how might that influence some of our inputs?
So that's the end of part one. I'd like to thank Peter and Thibaut for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Part two will be coming out later this week, where we will be picking up our conversation and looking at how understanding your break-even and cash flow position can be used to model different revenue strategies and evaluate their impact as we start the recovery phase. Feel free to get in contact with us if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights, insights, @revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing, as it really helps out the channel. And by helping out the channel, you help us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.